to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program, very much. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, June 25th, 2021. South Sudan's vice president calls on companies investing in South Sudan to pay taxes.
Already in the area of oil, we are discovering painful maladministration. For example, we have over 500 service companies, but most of them have never paid personal income tax.
And seven women are rescued from abductees in Jonglei State.
We are happy to inform you that all the women who were abducted have been rescued. They are now doing well.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan government says it lost more than $4 billion to some companies in unpaid taxes since the country gained its independence in 2011. South Sudan's Vice President James Waniga says the government has enacted measures to recover the money. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Vice President James Waniga, who chairs the country's economic cluster, says the government began scrutinizing the activities and accounts of oil companies last month after realizing that most of them have not paid personal income taxes as required by the 2012 South Sudan Petroleum Act.
Already in the area of oil, we are discovering painful maladministration. For example, we have over 500 service companies, but most of them have never paid personal income tax, PIT.
Iga says the economic cluster land oil companies owe the government $1.5 billion in personal income tax and $3.3 billion in arrears. He says the government intends to recover that money.
We are taking this seriously. If you add 1.5 billion plus 3.3 billion, you have 4.8 billion. This would have done a lot for the country. We don't even need to borrow from anyone, but we have been cheated. This must stop.
Iga was speaking at an event this week in Juba where South Sudan officially launched the country's first ever oil and gas licensing auction. He did not explain how the government failed to collect the taxes and arrears over the past 10 years. Iga advised Petroleum Ministry officials to ensure there is transparency and accountability in the oil sector to prevent malpractices and losses in the future. Iga vowed to undertake concrete measures to recover the money but did not specify what those measures would be.
Let me, in my capacity as the economic cluster chair, warn all and sundry that we are going to be more stringent. For sure we cannot continue like that. We will be more stringent. And we will never stomach any defrauding or non-payments of government rights by any concerned company.
Ahmed Morjan, a senior economics lecturer at the University of Juba, says he is not surprised to hear the government lost billions of dollars in oil-related tax revenue. He says the discovery may just be the tip of the iceberg.
Even if we have in principle the tax laws and everything to do with the taxes are there, but to me personally, there have been a lot of loopholes in the tax arrangement in South Sudan, especially those who are responsible for collecting. Now, you can imagine if a tax is not collected from companies for over 10 years, then one might suspect some foul play in it. Because under normal circumstances, every business is supposed to be paying its taxes on an annual basis.
Morjan says the government needs to step up its investigations into companies that do not pay taxes.
The way forward is what they're doing now. They have to find out and strategize how these companies should be paying their taxes to the government in this, out of these areas. And they should make clear that every year the taxpayers pay their taxes in a very convenient and transparent way and not in a burdening way.
The South Sudan Petroleum Act 2012 requires oil companies operating in the oil industry to pay the government taxes and customs duties. Chapter 16 of the Act says a person conducting petroleum activities in the country shall pay taxes and customs duties in accordance with the applicable law, adding the Ministry of Petroleum shall develop a model petroleum agreement in cooperation with the Ministry of Finance. The Act also requires that all taxes, royalties, rental fees, and any other fees payable to a licensed or contractor as part of an oil agreement be paid to the National Revenue Fund. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Udu in Juba.
Authorities in Jonglei State say police, with help of some local young men, have rescued seven women who were abducted earlier this week by armed men suspected to be from Greater Pibor Administrative Area. Jonglei State officials say the women spent days in the bush before being rescued. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
Jonglei State Information Minister Veronica William says the police and local youth managed to rescue the seven women who were abducted by armed men in Urur County on Monday. The women had gone to fetch water at a nearby water source when they were abducted. The incident occurred while Jonglei Governor Dine Jok Chagur was visiting Urur County. William says the women are safe but exhausted after spending several days in the bush.
We are happy to inform you that all the women who were abducted have been rescued. They are now doing well. The police and the local youth in the area who pursue them, they have returned. To recover something stolen by armed men, you have to be armed also to get it back. So I think they had some clashes with abductors before recovering them. But they are all fine.
Acting Jonglei State Police Spokesman Majak Daniel Tuor confirmed all seven women were handed over to their community leaders.
They were able to be rescued by the and our field personnel who went after them when the attackers took away with them, and they were rescued.
Tuor says the police have put in place additional security measures to prevent abductions or cattle raids in the area, but say police continue to face challenges in carrying out their duties, including a lack of police vehicles and a poor communication network in the area.
The Jonglei State Police is trying its best to improve the protection measures by providing all the necessary equipment to protect the civilians and the entire community within Jonglei State, as well as the entire population of the Republic of South Sudan.
Urur County Commissioner Tang Chatim says the women are in good physical condition.
We are able to go and meet with them, and then we encourage them, and also we support them with the team that we have in our county, and we tell them that this situation what we have in South Sudan, and between us and our neighbors is not the first time. It's always used to do the same. But for me as an official in this area, I told them that there is no anything that we done because we have peace with our brothers and sisters in the Greater Pibor Administrative Area.
Chatim says his office delivered some food assistance to the women, but they have yet to receive medical care since the only available health facility has run out of medical supplies. Locally, Amea, the new chief administrator for the Greater Pibor Administrative Area, condemned the rampant cattle raids and child abductions that have taken place in Greater Jonglei. He said he will work with the traditional leaders and neighboring communities to end such practices. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Bor.
The head of the reconstituted Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, a body tasked with monitoring South Sudan's peace agreement, is in Khartoum to brief the Sudanese officials on the progress made in implementing the revitalized peace agreement. Charles Taye briefed the head of Sudan's Sovereign Council on the recent decision to reconstitute the National Legislative Assembly, preparations to graduate unified forces, and progress on writing a constitution for South Sudan. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
Speaking to reporters shortly after meeting Abdul Fattah al-Burhan, head of the Sudanese Sovereign Council, General Tai said he updated al-Burhan, who is also chairman of the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, or IGAD, on South Sudan's progress in implementing the peace deal, but says he also describes the need to speed up key chapters of the agreement that have not been carried out.
We highlighted mainly on the chapters that we think they are critical for the purpose of seeing on how the South Sudan can be assisted. We briefed him on the chapter two about the unification of forces and the challenges that are there, the issues of the DDR, the issues of the unification of forces, and also the issues of how this can be go forward.
Sudan and Uganda are the guarantors of South Sudan's revitalized peace agreement signed in September 2018 in the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa. The RJMEC interim chairman describes the recent appointment and establishment of the Transitional National Legislative Assembly as a good progress towards realizing a complete government structure in South Sudan. General Tai says he and General al-Burhan discussed South Sudan's constitution-making process in detail.
His Excellency was very pleased about the work that we are doing, and he promised us that he's going to ensure that the issues that we have discussed with him is going to take them up and be able to assist South Sudan.
Tai says al-Burhan reiterated the commitment of the Sudanese transitional government to assist South Sudan in achieving lasting peace and stability in the country. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, how is misinformation impacting on COVID vaccines in Nigeria? That story is coming up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
do you know any first aid techniques?
Come to think of this question, I thought I do, but seriously, I think I may not be able to do too well if there is any situation present. Maybe it's something I need to go and learn how to do. It could help somebody tomorrow.
During our school days, the Red Cross Society, the clubs that we joined, they taught us a lot. When a child runs high temperature, you sponge the child with water from the leg to the head. Then you just rush the person to the hospital for best treatment.
In case if you have drowned maybe from water, the first aid technique that is available to be given is a kiss of life to a person that has drowned into water.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the coronavirus pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and noses when we are in crowded areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. In Nigeria, misinformation and misconceptions are contributing to apathy towards vaccinations against COVID-19. From Lagos, Samuel Okocha reports on what residents are saying and efforts of authorities to scale up vaccination efforts.
In March this year, Nigeria received nearly 4 million doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine. Authorities say they will vaccinate around 80 million people by the end of the year. But so far, less than 1 million people have received full vaccination with the required two shots.
I've not been vaccinated, and I don't think I want to take that vaccine.
That's Mabel, a resident in Lagos. She is one of many citizens with apathy towards the COVID vaccination.
I've heard a lot about it. I'm not ready for my body system to be changed. And then there are so many effects. And another thing I actually heard that made me kind of discouraged from taking the vaccine is that whether you take it or not, it doesn't stop the virus, you from contacting the virus. So whether I take the viral vaccine or not, I'll still get the virus. So what's the point taking the vaccine that will now turn my system upside down? So, I mean, I'm not ready for that vaccine as far as it is concerned in Nigeria, especially.
Mabel Kanu is not alone in her apathy. Although health authorities have explained that the COVID vaccine is not a full protection against contraction of the virus, it, however, provides protection against illness that results in complications that can lead to death. But some Nigerians have continued to show reluctance towards the vaccination exercise.
I have not taken the vaccine because of the process involving the registration. I don't even know where to start, you know, to log. When I look at how to register, I'll keep on saying tomorrow, today, tomorrow, the next tomorrow, or something like that.
I expect that the company which I am working under should bring the vaccine in the company so that the staff can partake in the vaccine. That's why I've not been able to take the vaccine.
Nigeria needs to vaccinate about 150 million of its people by next year to attain herd immunity, but only less than 1% of the population have so far received vaccination. That's lower than the global average of 10%, according to records from the World Health Organization. The Lagos State Health Commissioner, Professor Akin Abayomi, has highlighted vaccination as one of the strategies to curb the spread of the coronavirus in the state.
When we get somebody that has turned positive, who has recently returned from abroad, and you have tested positive, then we will be deploying some of the vaccines to vaccinate members of their family, their immediate household, to stop the transmission of the virus from the traveler to family members or people that live in the same home or in the same immediate jurisdiction.
In a statement released on Wednesday, the Lagos State Minister of Health said it was encouraging everybody that has had their first dose to go for their second dose to be fully immunized. According to Nigeria's National Primary Healthcare Development Agency, the country is due to get another nearly 4 million doses of COVID-19 vaccine by the end of July or early August. As Nigeria ramps up vaccination efforts, authorities will need to intensify efforts to combat hesitancy among citizens. Samuel Okocha, VOA News, Lagos, Nigeria.
Still on COVID, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration said on Wednesday it will add a warning about rare cases of heart inflammation in adolescents and young adults to fact sheets for Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna COVID-19 vaccines. But the CDC said the benefit still greatly outweighed risks. Julian Kitchener of Reuters reports.
The FDA on Wednesday said it will add a warning about rare cases of heart inflammation in teens and young adults to fact sheets for the Pfizer-BioNTech and Moderna COVID-19 vaccines, but that the benefits greatly outweigh the risks and are still recommending the vaccine for all Americans over 12 years old. CDC advisory groups found the risk of the heart condition in adolescents and young adults is likely linked to the mRNA vaccines, and that the risk is notably higher after the second dose and in males. Doctors and hospitals have been warned by the CDC to watch for symptoms of myocarditis or pericarditis, and the FDA warning will further raise awareness.
These rates appear higher in males than females.
But in a Wednesday meeting, advisors said the benefits of the mRNA vaccines appeared to clearly outweigh the risk. In a separate report, the CDC said the patients with heart inflammation following vaccination generally recover from the symptoms and do well. The cases are extremely rare. Data from the CDC suggest heart inflammation is seen at a rate of about 13 cases per million in the 3 weeks after the second shot in 12 to 39-year-olds. HHS, along with leading U.S. doctors groups and public health officials, issued a statement urging all eligible Americans to still get vaccinated.
We'd love to hear what you think about this program. My colleague Nabil Biagio is standing by with this week's listener comments. Over to you, Nabil.
Thanks, John. We heard from many of you this week about a number of stories we aired, especially our coverage of rampant killings and road attacks. Philip Lodiong from the Invempi refugee camp in Uganda writes, Thanks, John, for updating us with what is happening in South Sudan and across. But what is worrying me as a South Sudanese is that I have been hearing about the peace agreement that was signed in 2018, and now killings, attacks, and others are almost everywhere in South Sudan. So I wish the South Sudan leaders should mind about their own people, and one day God will answer our prayers and we see total peace in South Sudan. Joseph Awier in Juba, South Sudan says, John Tanza and Nabil Biagio, in this week alone in South Sudan, rampant intercommunal conflicts occurred across these states in Jonglei, Lakes, and Warrap states in our country, and many innocent civilians lost their lives, including the wife of the former Minister of Health, Dr. Riak Guy Kok. In all these, the revitalized national government is quiet to condemn these killings. My question is that after the formation of the states and county governments, does it mean our citizens are allowed to kill themselves and there is no intervention from the government at any level? This is totally unacceptable for our armed youth to carry out reckless killings. We urgently ask the newly appointed SSPDF Army Chief to intervene and ask the army to protect civilians. Mabor Alatrengo from Rumbek says, hello John Tanza. This is also a dark week again to people of Lake State. Cattle raiding has deepened its roots at Galueng's youth in Lake State. The Makere Diem cattle camp attack left more than 21 killed and more than 24 people wounded on Monday morning. I don't know exactly what happened to our youth. Do they have another life after death? We educated people have strongly condemned this deadly attack. I am appealing to the Honorable Governor of Lake State to come to the state as soon as possible to rescue the lives of our people. Kaman Makuriwal in Rumbek Lake State says, there has been another fresh wave of deadly clashes again. The situation in Lakes is becoming more deteriorating than ever. A state of emergency is the only solution right now to quell the overwhelming insecurity that is rampaging. Mal Adao Mal in Bortown writes, with rapid killings across the country and the concerned authorities doing almost nothing to stop internal conflicts, clearly there is evidence of former UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon's statement back in 2016 that South Sudan is a failed state. It's very unfortunate and unethical that Central Equatorial Governor didn't visit or pay his condolences to the aggrieved families whose beloved ones died in the line of duty. Meanwhile, I call upon Jonglei State Traffic Police to regulate road policies as road accidents happen day by day following Bortown Road's construction by ARC. Emma in Juba writes, I appreciate your work. Keep it up. Egypt should stop bullying fellow African countries that are alongside the two Niles. Those countries have the right to use the Nile on any development projects for that particular country. Martin Manil Wugol in Uganda says, hello John and Nabil. Africa and the world lost again another shining star in a statement. Former Zambian president known as KK was an exceptional leader among few founding fathers of the African continent. At a personal level, I shall miss his trademark white handkerchief always with him. Rest in peace, Mzi KK. Peter Data in Uganda's Yumbi district, Bidibidi Refugee Settlement Zone 4, Abria Majo writes, the issue of coronavirus has affected the livelihoods of the most vulnerable groups of people living in the settlement because the kids are not at school and most of the parents are working at home for the sake of protection. It is so painful. We pray the World Health Organization to procure corona medicine so that COVID-19 goes out of people's lives and things come back to normal. And also we thank the government of Uganda for bringing COVID-19 vaccine to our elderly people in the settlement. Maker Mayor from Lake State Ural Adyor Payam says, the UN needs to step up its efforts to monitor the worst human rights abuses that occurred in their member states rather than abandoning their duty. In fact, in South Sudan now, the way to silence the dissidents is to infect them with the worst form of diseases and infections like HIV/AIDS, hepatitis and COVID-19. I am now the living example of this case. They also mobilize people to mock and abuse me falsely everywhere I go and I have incontinence, but it is just a way of dehumanizing and killing me. Gatiek Wichar in Cairo, Egypt writes, hi VOA. The fact that almost half of the squad in South Sudan national football team tested positive in Qatar shows that the testing gears we have in South Sudan are not functioning, and such a challenge was anticipated since our politicians don't allow health professionals to independently do their work. Diwa Moy Daniel in Juba says, I am very happy to be connected to South Sudan in Focus after a long time of struggling to get connected. I would like to thank South Sudan in Focus for all of its comprehensive news about South Sudan and beyond. Keep up the good work and God bless you all. Saber Isaac Hamis of Yambio Western Equatoria State writes, Hi VOA South Sudan in Focus. Justice and accountability is not possible in this country because of the corruption at the highest order. What I know is the resumption of oil operation at Block 5 oil field is good news for the corrupted officials because accountability in this country is prohibited. So the beneficiaries are not the ordinary people as looting is just a free practice in this country. The views expressed here do not reflect the view of this program or of VOA. We appreciate all of your comments. Keep them coming.
Thanks, Nabil. Please keep your comments brief and we will air them every Friday. We now leave you in a dancing mood with Jamnazi Africa and the song Riziki. Been listening to Jamnazi Africa with the song Riziki. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Biashara zote mwafanya usiku.